Welcome to Generation Slay,
where we know that Gen Zers are shifting important narratives, changing the world, creating incredible content, and making a name for themselves in a big way.
Each episode, we interview the Gen Z entrepreneurs, creatives, and innovators who are slaying it in their fields.
I'm Gianluca Russo, a 21-year-old freelance writer based out of New York. My work primarily focuses on fashion, entertainment, and plus-size representation. It has been published in GQ, Glamour, Teen Vogue, Nylon, Vice, The Huffington Post, and more. When I'm not writing, I'm usually ranting about my dog or Ariana Grande. You can find me on social media at G_Russo1.
And I'm Emma Havakorst, a 21-year-old Fordham University marketing major, writer, and consultant to both businesses and rising Gen Zers. I'm a chai latte and donut addict, and I spend most of my waking hours on Instagram, where you can find me at Emma Havi.
What's up, everybody? On this week's episode, we're so excited to have Caitlin De Silva on to discuss YouTube, bullet journaling, and the business of influence and content creation.
Caitlin De Silva is a 22-year-old Canadian YouTuber and Rotman Commerce business student at the University of Toronto. Her lifestyle channel, Caitlin's Corner, has over 100,000 followers and over 10 million views across her 200 videos. She covers a wide range of topics, including planning, organization, books, health, study tips, and she plans on transitioning to working on YouTube full-time after graduation from university at the end of this semester.
So how's it going, Caitlin? We're so happy to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Life is good. I'm about to approach exam season, so that stress is hitting in, but this is a nice little study break before I get into it.
Well, we're really thankful for you taking the time during this, you know, hectic moment in life. But to start off, tell us a little just about your backstory. How did you first get started on YouTube and with bullet journaling?
Yeah, well, my start on YouTube actually was many years ago with a different channel entirely. It was named the YA Bookworm Blogger, and I had started it back in high school after I had started a book blog because I fell into the love of Twilight. I was like totally a fan of Team Edward, and I wanted to talk to people about Twilight and other books I had started reading because that series really introduced me to just reading in general. And I had started doing videos on the YA Bookworm Blogger and then came to university and realized that there's absolutely no time for extra reading outside of school. So I didn't have any things to talk about in book videos. And I remember my first year of university, I was kind of like in this crossroads because I had Caitlin's Corner as like this side channel just to put random videos on. But my main channel, YA Bookworm Blogger, just wasn't getting attention because I couldn't read. And then because I couldn't read, I wasn't posting. And because I wasn't posting, I didn't feel really fulfilled at that point. So I made the decision that summer to kind of transition to Caitlin's Corner because Caitlin's Corner is a lifestyle channel. Or it could be a lifestyle channel and something more general and something that I would be able to make videos for about my life. So, you know, your life always has like things to talk about and content to create from. And that really was like a transition that needed to happen if I was going to be able to continue making videos throughout university. And around that time between the summer of first year and second year, when I really decided to kind of give Caitlin's Corner more attention, was when I discovered bullet journaling. And my mom is actually the person who introduced me to it. At the time, I was really into Erin Condren planners, which are these beautiful planners that, like, I just love them. But at the time, my mom had started watching like planner videos and had heard about bullet journaling. And because bullet journaling is this DIY planner where you can make spreads basically like from scratch, you can customize them to fit whatever your needs are, she just thought that would be something right up my alley, especially because I was in school and would have like a lot of school planning needs. And it was kind of like love at first pen stroke. I tried it out, you know, gave it a try 1 month, and I haven't really looked back because it's just been such a great tool for not just school, but for my life in general.
Yeah. So Since you did make that choice to transition to Caitlin's Corner and really keep this up, focus on it during your university experience, can you tell us a little more about what it's like to have YouTube as sort of your career?
Yeah, it's strange because I feel like when you think of a career, you think that's the only thing you're focusing on. And throughout the past 4 years, and even in high school when I was doing the book channel, like I've always been doing both. Now in the past like year and a half, like financially now I can actually call it a real job, and that's just amazing because it's something I really love doing. And the fact that like I'm able to now leave school at the end of my 4-year degree at UFT and be able to work for myself is just really fulfilling because this is something I really enjoy doing. But YouTube itself like is a lot of work. I don't think the average viewer realizes, like the average viewer just gets to see the videos, but behind the videos there's filming, there's editing, there's idea creation for the videos, there is thumbnail creations, Instagram posts, Instagram promos, Facebook, like there's so much behind the scenes I don't think a lot of people think about that actually needs to get done. And because I am a one-woman show, I don't have anyone working for me. I edit all the videos. Anything that you see under the Caitlin's Corner name is coming from yours truly. So it's been an interesting juggling act the past few years trying to manage that with school.
Mm-hmm. Right, definitely. And then that's something we want to talk about. So what is your day-to-day kind of like? You know, a lot of your videos talk about balance and organization, especially when it comes to, you know, students who are trying to, you know, launch their career while they're still in school. How do you balance that? How do you organize that? And how do you have the time for everything? So what's your day-to-day like, and how do you kind of figure your way through that?
Yeah, well, the day-to-day is always different, especially semester to semester. Throughout the years, it's really changed because my schedule is largely dictated on when my classes are and when assignments are for those classes. So each month it looks different because different things are due and different things require more time. So what I try and really prioritize is like to ensure that I am taking time for YouTube. I really do treat it like a class, put it into my schedule as if it is a class. And that like pretty much requires me looking at my schedule on a week-to-week basis, because like I said, things are always changing, right? So it's hard to like come up with like a standardized schedule. I just try and adapt to what's in front of me. But I think taking advantage too of like small pockets of my day, you know, if I have 20 minutes in between classes, usually I'm doing something work related, not school related. It's probably something my professors wouldn't love, but you know, I'll take time to post a photo or get back to an email. I try and maximize those like little pockets that tend to like just go to waste, like by scrolling through Instagram or watching YouTube videos. But yeah, like I really just try and schedule those times that I'm going to work on my channel and to my soul. And I treat it as if like that's something I can't miss, because I've concluded that is something that I find valuable and worth putting time into. And I think for anyone out there that wants to do something in addition to whether you're in school or you have a job, if you want to put time into a side hustle, you have to be committed to it and just find the time where you can, because I'm sure there is time in your day where you can schedule that in. Sometimes that does mean I'm late editing a video, like I was last night. I was like up till 1 a.m. trying to get the video that's going to go up later today done. And sometimes it's not late night. Sometimes it's in the morning, right before my morning class. So it's just being able to be flexible and find pockets where you can schedule time for that thing in, because if it's important to you, you need to show that by giving it the time it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've talked a lot about sort of how you utilize pockets of time to post things or promote your videos or edit them. So to sort of take that into consideration here. How do you specifically work to build and engage with your audience online, both on social media platforms and on YouTube?
Yeah, like it's interesting. I feel like engagement is one of those things that people both, you know, in the marketing world and like on the social space are like, well, what is engagement? Is it, do we prefer likes? Do we prefer the amount, like, are we looking at the amount of followers that you have, the amount of comments that you have? And it's all in all of those things. But like the one that I prioritize, quality comments. And to me, that the way that you can get people to be invested and to contribute thoughts to what you're putting out in the world is by engaging in conversations with them. So whether it's on YouTube or Instagram, like I always like to try and start conversations. So on YouTube, I like to end each video with questions. I like to filter or add questions throughout my videos to kind of get people, you know, inspired to have a conversation in the comments. Because I think when you do have like a comment section below the video that is exciting and interesting to read through, like it just adds something extra to the video. It adds a sense of community, which is something I really love about being on social, is having a community to talk with and to connect with. On Instagram, I like to, again, ask questions. I usually always ask a question on a caption because I like to encourage people or give people an easy thing to give me feedback on in the comments. I like to use Instagram polls, and I do Q&A Wednesdays once a week on Instagram stories where I get people to ask questions and I answer about 6 to 10 of them. And it's amazing because usually I'm getting, you know, people will obviously be able to see my answers to the questions on the stories themselves. But on the back end, there's people replying through direct messages on things that I've said. And it really like it creates these conversations that I end up having with my followers, which is the best part about this whole thing being on YouTube, is being able to actually get to know the people that are watching my videos or following me on Instagram, following my Instagram stories. Like that, I think, is the most valuable part of this whole thing. And that's what I try and encourage both on YouTube and Instagram. And something I also try and do is reply to as many comments as I can, whether it's on YouTube or Instagram. I'm always like, especially on the YouTube videos, I like to be there in the first 24 hours trying to get to as many as I can, just so that people feel like when they're contributing something to the channel that they're being heard. I think that's really special. So that's something I prioritize, even though it is time consuming. Like I think that adds something for viewers.
Oh, it absolutely does. And you've sort of touched on it a little bit, but we wanted to talk to you a little more about how you've seen YouTube change the way that Gen Z consumes and creates content. And you touched on a few points like engagement and community and conversation, but I'd really like to hear more from your perspective. And also, since you are in business school and you're sort of at the end of your education there, how that perspective sort of factors in.
Yeah, loaded question. But I guess like what's really great about YouTube from a creator standpoint is that it's so much more accessible, like to just create like content about anything that you love. Like you can have a passion for squirrels, and you know you can make videos on it and generate a following and attract other people that are into squirrels. Like, I don't know, that's a poor example, but like there's someone I'm sure out there in the world. Like you can find a community for whatever it is that you're into, which I think is really great. It means that you can consume content that relates to who you are, create content that relates to who you are. Like people don't have to feel like it connects people in the world. Like you can connect with people across the world that previously you may not have had that opportunity to have that relationship. So that in that sense, that's really awesome. And like I said, like YouTube technology, like film videos on your phone and have it be like not affordable quality is amazing. It means that the barrier to entry to like YouTube in general is almost like non-existent, because if you have a camera and you have like an internet access, you can start creating videos. So it's so much more accessible, and I think it means that you get so many different people trying it out, because it's something that they actually feel like they can do. And I think in terms of the business perspective, like one thing about YouTube is that for the most part, it's real everyday people creating videos and building followings. And I think that is definitely pushed for just this desire for more authenticity across the board, like obviously from creators themselves, but I think people are also wanting the brands and the companies that they support, they want to feel like they're being genuine. So in that sense, like, I feel like that the desire for authenticity has just like overwhelmed the world with YouTube.
Yeah, definitely. So then kind of going off of that, and now that you're, you know, graduating and building your brand and kind of taking that next step forward in your career, and as a business student, having that knowledge, where do you kind of see, you know, influencer markets and content creator markets going in the future? You know, obviously there's, if you look at YouTube or Instagram, there's obviously a lot of people creating there. And people are really starting to notice now, like, who stands out amongst the rest. So where do you kind of see those markets heading in the future? And how do you plan to kind of adjust to those trends that might be coming up soon?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's interesting as a business student and someone like who's in the YouTube world is that, even in my university classroom, I've seen social like increasingly become a part of the the conversation about marketing since I like from first year to fourth year. Like, there's such a difference in how much more even influencers get talked about, which is funny when the conversation shifts to influencers. And me being someone that I guess people would consider an influencer, I'm just like, oh my goodness, my professor is talking about this industry, like, and I'm like right here. So it's interesting to hear, like to see, like, I guess people's opinions on the influencer market. And like a lot of people are seeing the potential, like you said, like you're seeing more brands working with influencers, and also like businesses just seeing the value of partnering with influencers. So as for the future, like, I just think like that's gonna obviously like just continue to be something we see more and more of. I think, again, like kind of bringing back to the point that I brought up earlier, I think there's going to be more of a push towards working with creators that have quality engagement. Like, I don't think it's always the creator with the most followers or the most likes that is a valuable to a brand, because now that I have seen business, I do see like the perspective of what businesses want from the relationships with influencers. And what they want is they want engagement build on their end. And if you want that, I think you have to pair with creators who have engagement that's quality, who have a community that's invested in them. And to me, like, you know, seeing quality comments, people excited about new videos or new content, like that's like an indication that someone's doing something right. And I think those are like the influencers that are going to be more and more attractive to brands. So it's not just about like the pretty photos, it's about like what conversations are you starting, and I think that's going to be like more of a focus. But and as a creator too, when I think about even like brand deals, like that's something that I think the business side has really been beneficial for me, is that, you know, with influencer marketing, it's still so new and people still have a hard time determining like, oh, what's a successful partnership between a brand and a business look like? And because I have that business background and I am a creator, I now like will go into those partnerships with brands and I'm not just thinking about, you know, what's the value in this partnership to me? I'm also thinking, well, how can I make this a worthwhile, you know, partnership for them as well? Because they obviously, when you're partnering with a brand, they obviously have their wants and you have yours as a creator.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think the best partnerships are ones that kind of marry the two.
Right. Absolutely. So before we wrap up, we have two little, probably not that little, questions for you.
So, okay.
First of all, we want to know, what's the plan for Caitlin's Corner in the future? What should we expect and be looking out for? And then also, if you could share one piece of advice or insight with fellow Gen Zers, what would that be?
Okay, so question number one, plan for the future. Well, I think I had mentioned in this podcast, I am planning on going full-time with Caitlin's Corner. So in general, like, just more content is going to be something that I am going to be putting out, which is quite exciting, because typically, like, I don't have much time to do much more than what I'm doing now. But so more content, I think you're going to start seeing more of a shift to just this theme of adulting in general. I think a lot of people get out of university and have this expectation that you finish your undergrad and then, like, you're going to have all the answers for the future. And now that I've gotten here, I know that that is not the case, because most people I talk to have no idea what the next step is, or are, you know, have doubts about the next. So that thought process too, and any of those concerns that come up, I'm going to be focusing on more self-care and self-love content or an organization stuff. Just a lot of the themes that are in my channel right now.
Mm-hmm.
In more of a student sense, but bringing it to just like an everyday narrative. And then, you know, as far as other things, like, I'm now in the process of thinking of maybe even opening an online store of stationery things. That's kind of like a up in the air idea. So that might be coming within the next little bit. And just having time to that I really wanted to spend time on, or at least explore what those projects would look like, because right now, like, I've been quite limited because schools has had to be the priority, but now I have that extra little time to be trying out other things that can fall under the Caitlin's Corner umbrella. And then as for a piece of advice, I think the biggest piece of advice is just, you know, it's so generic. Find a way to do something that you love. If science, being a scientist is what you love, then, like, do it. If being a doctor is what you love, do it. But if there is, like, this something in you that's saying, like, I feel like I need to explore this thing, but it scares me, or I don't know how to start, like, just make the first move and start. Because when I started this channel, or when I started my book channel years ago, I had no idea how to even work a camera or edit a video. It was all self-taught, and it's something that, like, you look at my videos now and you're like, oh, she knows how to edit. I can't edit. I can't do this. But there was a time where I had no idea what I was doing, and it's only by starting that you give yourself the opportunity to grow and to get better at what you're doing. And then hopefully that can lead to some open doors in the future. So just try a lot of things, invest time in things that you find valuable to you, and don't consider them a waste. Consider that time an investment in yourself.
Definitely. That's such great advice. And I think that's something that me and Emma try to, you know, tell all of our listeners and everyone that we talk to, especially with me and Emma's own careers, is that it's just so important to be able to, once you know what it is and know what you love, to really just go after that. And even if it's not perfect at the beginning, that kind of you'll work your way along it and figure out the kinks and kind of get to the spot you need to be eventually, and never know what could come at the end.
Yeah, and a lot of people also struggle with, like, I don't even know what the thing I love is. So you know, whatever age you are, if you're young or if you're older, just be open to trying different things. And I think you can find a lot of answers by just experimenting.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on today and sharing your experience with us. We had such a blast getting to learn more about you and your plans for the future and your advice. But tell us, before we go, tell us a little more about where people can find you online and where they can reach you at.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on. You can follow me on YouTube by typing in Caitlin's Corner in the YouTube bar. I'm also Caitlin Marie De Silva on Instagram, Caitlin F. De Silva on Twitter. And yeah, come say hi. I'd love to, if you hear this podcast and you like something that you heard, send me a message. I'd love to hear from you.
Amazing. Thank you again, Caitlin. Thanks for listening to Generation Slay. We have new episodes launching every Tuesday.
If you liked what you heard today or felt like you got some great insight from our guest, please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice so that more people will see the podcast and hear what our incredible guests have to say.
In the meantime, if you have an idea of someone we should have on the show or just want to talk to us, you can find the podcast at Generation Slay on Twitter and Instagram, and at www.generationslay.com.
Keep slaying, and we'll see you next week.